What is going on, everyone? Welcome to the Slaw Sports Show. I'm your host, Cole Noble, a.k.a. Slaw, back in the chair here live on WSOE 89.3 in Elon and Burlington on the radio and also live on YouTube at the Slaw Sports Show. So, you know, depending on how you're wanting to listen to today's episode, we're going a full hour long. We are on the radio, WSOE 89.3 again. And also live on the YouTube if you want to check out the live as well with the, you know, accompanying video. But yeah, we're back in the seat. It's good to be back. Good to be back on the show. It's been a while, but we are finally, you know, ready to get started and kickstart the off season. The off season, the NFL is fully underway. And for those who haven't been on the Slaw Sports Show, I know it's been a while. Those listening on the radio, wanting to know what the show's about. Big football show here on the Slaw Sports Show. You know, big NFL show, talk show, all things going on in the NFL. So we've got a loaded show today. You know, haven't been on in a while. We got a lot to talk about in terms of head coaching hires. We got a lot to talk about with big dates upcoming. You know, this week, especially Combine week, kicking off tomorrow, going through next Monday, the NFL Combine. Always a big deal. And always a big showcase for the prospects, you know, a lot of GMs, a lot of scouts, a lot of executives meeting, talking, maybe getting some trade stuff at the ready. Those type of things that are happening this week, you know, some smoke screens, some tea leaves will be shared. It's a big week in the NFL this week. And also next week as well, March 7th is the franchise tag deadline. So, we'll talk about some of the franchise tag candidates, who is eligible, who is expected, who do we think is going to get a franchise tag, who do we think is going to get a long-term deal, who we think might get traded by that franchise tag deadline. And also the official trading period opens on March 15th. So that also is, you know, around the same time when free agency opens as well. So, you know, potential upcoming free agents free to sign with any team at that point as well in 2 weeks. So the offseason is ramping up quickly, heading into the next year, you know, the draft coming up in April. So we have a lot to talk about to kick off the first episode back here on the Slaw Sports Show to start off the offseason. First off, round of applause to the Kansas City Chiefs, your Super Bowl champions, knocking out the Philadelphia Eagles. We didn't do a Super Bowl show. Haven't done a show throughout the season. We took the season off, but, you know, we had a lot of great content last offseason, you know, going into the start of the season, some season previews. We were able to just sit back, hang tight throughout the season, just enjoy some great football. But yeah, hats off to the Kansas City Chiefs, Super Bowl champions, on their big win over the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's go ahead and get into today's episode. So before we get into the coaching hires, which is where I want to start, because, you know, pretty much they're all wrapped up. But before we get into the new head coaching hires and their assistants, you know, what's coming in, what's new for these teams, I do want to talk about a big team making some big moves right now over in Los Angeles. The LA Rams last week have released and parted ways with linebacker Bobby Wagner, 8-time Pro Bowler, in a big move. You know, the first of many moves you're going to see out of LA to provide some cap relief for this team going forward. Not only into next year, but into the future, what this franchise is going to look like going forward. The Bobby Wagner release was a big one. Seeing Bobby go off the board and now go into potentially the free agent market as one of the top linebackers on the board for prospective teams to look after was a big move. Last year, I believe all-pro year from Bobby Wagner again, had an incredible season. I think over 140 total tackles on the year. That guy was an absolute beast in his first year with the Rams, you know, former Seattle Seahawk. You know, the Rams brought him in on, I think, like a 5-year deal. Was expected to be there for a while. Things just didn't work out. The money wasn't right for this year, and it made more sense for the Rams to move on from that contract and make him a free agent. So that was a big move. But the big thing I want to talk about, the big storyline from the LA Rams right now has been cornerback Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey potentially being on the move is what the tea leaves started to show. From that Bobby Wagner release, you know, you look at their cap space right now, you know, their leading, you know, hit candidates going into next year. Jalen Ramsey is that, you know, that next man up that potentially could get moved from this team. I don't see a release from Jalen Ramsey, but what I do see is a potential trade of Jalen Ramsey going forward with the LA Rams. And this is something that Peter King also talked about this morning on his Football Morning in America article with Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports. So Peter King talks about this, you know, what could this trade look like for Jalen Ramsey? This is, of course, is, you know, has to be big for the Rams right now. Going into it with 10 picks in 2023 in the NFL draft, you know, still no comp picks on the way, as Peter King laid out. But the big thing right now, their first pick in LA isn't until the 36th overall selection of round number two, and then the 69th selection in round number three. Then they have three picks in the sixth round, one in the seventh round, and then the comp picks in either four, five, six, or seventh round. So not a lot of big picks, especially at the beginning of the draft for the LA Rams. So a potential Jalen Ramsey trade could get them some more capital at the top of the draft in April to select some guys to build up this roster after what was a huge, huge, horrible year for the LA Rams last year, bouncing back from a Super Bowl win. I think the worst post-Super Bowl season in NFL history last year. 5-12, third in the NFC West. Just a lot did not go right for the LA Rams. Dealt with a lot of injuries. You know, Cooper Kupp lost for the year. Matthew Stafford lost for the year. Aaron Donald dealt with some injuries as well in that defensive line. So that's your top three players right there in LA that they were missing from that championship team just a year ago. So with this team and with this draft capital, we go back to this Jalen Ramsey trade. I think Jalen Ramsey is going to be on the move. I think they're going to find a contender to come in and snatch Jalen Ramsey off of this team and add a star into their secondary. So, you know, Peter King again laid out some potential teams. If the Rams are looking to get a first-round pick, it's not going to be a high one, and I agree with that. But somewhere in that 26 to 31 range, as Peter King laid out, potential teams like the Cowboys, the Buffalo Bills, the Kansas City Chiefs, all could be interested potential suitors who have a low first-round pick willing to package with a couple more picks for Jalen Ramsey. The other thing with this as well, Les Snead of the LA Rams has done this for years. Moving on from players, getting off of contracts, you know, stocking up second, third, fourth-round picks, you know, maybe a potential late first that they can get from Jalen Ramsey, and then package all of those picks to move on and get, you know, other veterans from other teams with, you know, other general managers wanting to stack some picks and move around the board. This is that time of the year when GMs start pulling in capital, trading away capital, positioning themselves right before the draft in April. And this is exactly what the Rams are trying to do with this decision and with this move of potentially moving on from Jalen Ramsey. So that's the heat of what we got going on right now in the NFL. The big name right now is Jalen Ramsey. Outside of a name we'll get to later in today's episode here in the next coming days and into next week that we're going to have some big eyes on going forward. But Jalen Ramsey right now, I want to see what happens with him as we approach, you know, the time this week of general managers and executives meeting together, all together under Lucas Oil Stadium's roof and, you know, packaging some deals together, getting some deals in place to potentially move on from some guys and get in some draft capital as we approach toward draft season. Speaking of which, I'd like to officially mark this the beginning of draft season with the combine kicking off. We have our mock draft out as well on our official site of the show, knoble87 at wixsite.com/slawsportsreport. You can find our first round mock draft there, 1.0. We're going to have two more coming out, you know, one post-combine, post-free agency-ish, and then one more the week of the draft. That's usually how we do things with our mock draft. So our first one's out there. You can find it. You can find it on our Twitter page, pinned at the top of the profile at Slaw Sports Show on Twitter. Find our mock draft there. You know, we had some big moves. Had some trades up to the number one pick in our first round mock draft 1.0. So that is on there as well if you would like to see it. So that's what we have just to kick off today's episode. Now let's get into the nitty-gritty. The nitty-gritty of what we're going to talk about today. So like I said, first up on the agenda is going to be the head coaching hires. All five teams have now found their new head coach. You know, the five teams, Houston Texans, Carolina Panthers, Arizona Cardinals, Indianapolis Colts, and the Denver Broncos all had head coaching vacancies. Going into the offseason, all five have been filled. For the most part, all of their top coordinators have also been filled. And we'll talk about a few other coordinators who are on the move as well and, you know, on new teams that has some implications going forward. But the first thing I want to talk about is these head coaching hires. From these five head coaching hires, there's two and only two that I think have been home runs from what I've seen so far. It's still early. They, you know, still have even barely been in, you know, the organization, barely been in the building, barely even talked to some of their players and coaches as well that they're bringing in. But from what I've seen, I'm most confident in two head coaching hires. A third one I'm iffy about, and then two more I'm just anxious to see what happens. I don't know how these guys are going to fit. But first off, DeMeco Ryan. DeMeco Ryan's with the Houston Texans, I think, was a home run hire. I think that was the best hire of the head coaching cycle this year. This guy is a turnaround guy. He is the guy that's going to come into Houston and completely flip what has been an atrocious franchise for the last few years. DeMeco, I think, is going to be the guy that flips this organization back to where it needs to be, get them back on the right path and moving forward. And paired with the quarterback that they take at either number two or number one overall in April, paired with that quarterback, whether it's Bryce Young, whether it's C.J. Stroud, paired with that quarterback, DeMeco Ryan's going to turn the Houston Texans around and get them back on the upward trajectory in that AFC South division. So the former San Francisco 49er defensive coordinator, I think, was a great hire. This is a guy who, you know, former linebacker of the Houston Texans, coming back home. It's just a feel-good story, and he has all the pedigree. I mean, this guy for the last 2 years has been a hot name in the head coaching, you know, cycle, getting interviews, you know, going to different teams, you know, all the deals that you would expect out of a coaching hire, and, you know, out of the cycle and bringing in candidates. DeMeco fit every bill. I think it was finally time for him to get a deal in place. You know, I know the Denver Broncos were high on DeMeco Ryan's going into this year's cycle, but the Houston Texans coming away with DeMeco was a huge deal for this team. It was a huge deal for the city of Houston, bringing him back home. This guy ran the NFL's top-ranked defense in yards and points allowed last year for the 49ers. He has all the support of his former players, of the former players in Houston. You talk about J.J. Watt. You talk about Matt Schaub. All have spoken adamantly about this hire. And even J.J. Watt, you know, former Houston Texan, you know, it felt like the bridges were burnt in Houston with J.J. Watt when he left and was traded to the Arizona or left and was signed with the Arizona Cardinals. Now, since retired this past season, you know, again, hats off to a great career, J.J. Watt. But it didn't seem like J.J. Watt was ever going to come back home and ever, you know, have that true pride in Houston again. And now he's shown that since this hire of DeMeco Ryan, you know, former teammate of his, he has come out, publicly supported this move, publicly supported the Houston Texans again, and that's great for that organization going forward. I mean, you talk about the head coaching, you know, dump that the Houston Texans have been in since, you know, Bill O'Brien. You've had Romeo Crennel, David Culley, and then the last year with Lovie Smith, back-to-back head coaches that were first year, you know, one and done in Houston, 11-38-1 over the past three seasons. Things have to get right in Houston, and I think DeMeco Ryan's was a good hire that helps that, you know, be the case. I think DeMeco Ryan is the guy that helps put Houston back on the map as a franchise, gets them back in place, and I'm ecstatic for that hire and what they're able to do with the Houston Texans and with this hire going forward. So the other thing to consider is, who's he bringing in? Who is the guy or the guys that DeMeco is going to bring in to his coaching staff and with this team? Well, first off, let's talk about Bobby Sulik coming in as the offensive coordinator, the 49ers passing game coordinator, a guy who has spent a lot of time with DeMeco working with the 49ers, a lot of pedigree there between the two, a lot of chemistry there between the two. And, you know, I think he's going to do a good job with whoever this young quarterback is, grooming him. He's worked with, you know, a lot of young quarterbacks, you know, the past 2 years, you know, especially last year working with Trey Lance at the beginning of the year, moving on to the, you know, end of the year, second half of the year, into the playoffs. He started working with Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, who went on a playoff run with the 49ers. So Bobby's got some experience with some young quarterbacks. I think he's going to do great with whichever young quarterback they bring into the draft, either, again, at one or two overall, whether it's Bryce Young, whether it's C.J. Stroud with that pick. I think he's going to do a good job working with them and working with that young offense. You know, you talk about second-year running back in Damian Pierce. You talk about Nico Collins at wide receiver. John Mechie, hopefully on the return soon. A potential another pick on that offense, whether it's a wide receiver, offensive line at the 12th overall pick for the Houston Texans. Whatever the case, I think they got a great young mind at the offensive coordinator position who's ready to work with these young guys and get them back on track within this division. And Matt Burke, former Arizona Cardinals defensive line coach, bringing him in as the defensive coordinator, again, another guy with a lot of experience who, you know, worked in that same division with DeMeco Ryans in that NFC West division in the NFC Conference. So Matt coming in too with Bobby, I think, are two good coordinators that DeMeco is able to bring into his staff to start off, you know, this journey that they're going on in their first year with the Texans. Now, the second hire I'm adamant about in this coaching cycle has been Frank Wright. Frank Wright got a pretty bad deal with the Indianapolis Colts this past year, getting released from his contract, you know, fired halfway through the year, you know, actually not even close to the halfway point from the Indianapolis Colts. They went on, had Jeff Saturday come in from the ESPN booth to be their interim coach, and things just went south quickly with the Indianapolis Colts. I don't think Frank Wright was the problem in Indianapolis. I think it was clearly the case. And, you know, I'm excited to see him get back in this spot immediately right after going into the next year back in the head coaching seat. I expected Frank Wright to land a coordinator job, potentially somewhere else, you know, just, you know, get his feet back wet, you know, take a year off, understand, hey, what happened? What went wrong? What do I need to do better next time to better, you know, position myself for a future head coaching position? But he got it right off the bat. I'm ecstatic for him. A great guy in Frank Wright coming to Carolina with the Panthers. Another guy who's coming home back to Charlotte, back to the North Carolina area. And he has built an incredible staff. The staff that has been put in place in Carolina with Frank Wright has been absolutely insane. And I'm excited to see what he can do with this Panthers team. You know, getting them back into the fold and, you know, getting Carolina back on track, moving on from that Matt Rhule era. And that's the thing. The Matt Rhule era was a disaster in Carolina. It was a guy who they brought in from the college ranks that, you know, they thought this was going to be a guy who was going to, you know, better fit with the players, be a player's coach, you know, fit well with the young, young players they're bringing up from college, the draft picks that they're bringing in with this team. He built a huge, you know, coaching staff of inexperienced NFL players or NFL coaches to his staff from the college ranks that came with him. You know, all his buddies came up, joined his staff. It just did not work out in Carolina. And it was a long time coming that the Matt Rhule era came to an end. And you can see Dave Tepper has officially made his, you know, he has recognized his mistake in Carolina and now brought in Frank Wright, an experienced former head coach, former Super Bowl coordinator, and brought in an incredible staff with Frank Wright. And that's the thing. There's a salary cap in the NFL with players. There's no salary cap with assistant coaches, and the Carolina Panthers have made that known this year. Dave Tepper has opened his bag and let these coordinators that are experienced, that are former head coaches, that are, you know, just experienced staff. This staff is incredible that the Carolina Panthers have brought in under Frank Wright. I mean, first off, you talk about Thomas Brown from the LA Rams, the former assistant head coach there, worked with the tight ends. Thomas Brown in league circles has seen as one of the brightest young minds in the offensive world, in the offensive coaching world, and he is coming in as this offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers. I expect Frank Wright to potentially call the plays here, but Thomas Brown working below him with this offense is going to be great things for this team. You know, I'm excited that Thomas Brown's getting an opportunity now to showcase what he can do after a lot of talk of him the last, you know, year, last 2 years of what he can do with an offense. You know, he's working up this ranks of the Sean McVay coaching tree with the Rams and now getting his opportunity with the Carolina Panthers. You talk about Yusro Evero from the Denver Broncos coming in, the Broncos' former defensive coordinator. He was getting head coaching interviews. He comes in, expectedly a big deal to land him in Carolina, a same role coming right over as a defensive coordinator from the Denver Broncos, who, you know, he ran the number 8 total defense last year. with the Denver Broncos. He's coming in with that defense of the Panthers that's got, some stud players all around. I mean, you talk about Brian Burns, you talk about Derek Brown, J.C. Horn, Jeremy Chinn. There are some weapons on that defense all over top to bottom that Evero can now, use to his advantage on that defense. And he is going to do a phenomenal job with that defense, controlling that side of the ball, being the focal point on that side of the ball in terms of what he can do. And then you have Chris Tabor coming in at special teams, coordinator. He's going to be working with Johnny Hecker, Eddie Pinheiro, those guys who, I expect, of course, Johnny Hecker to be back. Last year had a career high yards per punt and punts down inside the 20. I love Johnny Hecker. I love that signing last year by the Panthers. Chris Tabor's a good coordinator coming back to work with those guys. Jim Caldwell's coming in as a senior assistant on the staff, former head coach of the Detroit Lions, who, there's a lot of talk with Jim Caldwell and, what happened with him in the Detroit Lions, what's happened recently, with his interest being a head coach. I think he deserved a lot of interviews. I think he's still a top mind in the coaching industry in the NFL. He's well-respected, well-liked, worked with Peyton Manning, Joe Flacco, Matthew Stafford, worked with some great guys on the offensive side of the ball, an experienced, older former head coach that joins the staff and as an assistant to this staff. And then, the nitty-gritty of the positions, Josh McCown. It's time. Quarterback coach of the Carolina Panthers. Josh McCown had a lot of news with the Houston Texans. What was his future going to look like with that team and the coaching staff? But a longtime journeyman quarterback in the National Football League is a bright mind. The stuff that Josh McCown and Josh Norris on Underdog Fantasy shouted to that show. The breakdowns that they've done on this quarterback class have to be promising for quarterback Panthers fans who need a quarterback going into this year, which is the big thing for this team right now. But Josh McCown is going to be coaching whatever guy that is and is bringing a lot of experience to the table for this Panthers coaching staff. You got Parks Frazier coming in as the assistant to the head coach and also the passing game coordinator. We worked with Frank Wright before in Indianapolis, moved up from offensive quality control coach, assistant quarterback coach, now passing game coordinator. These two guys have a tight bond. Parks Frazier and Frank Wright. Deuce Staley's coming back in, also an assistant head coach, but also working with the running backs as well. So whatever running back the Carolina Panthers bring into the fold is going to be a draft pick. They got Chuba Hubbard still there, pending free agent. Deonta Foreman as well could return. So they're going to be working under Deuce Staley and his group as well. So this is a phenomenal staff. Looking at what Frank Wright has built in Carolina shows, Don Capers as well, senior defensive assistant, former head coach, actually the first ever coach in Panthers franchise history, returning as an assistant coach to work with this team. It looked great, seeing the hair that Don Capers had rocking at his first press conference with the Carolina Panthers, being back with the Panthers. So this is an incredible coaching staff the Carolina Panthers have put together. And again, this is just on paper. We'll see how these guys fare once the season starts, once we get into training camp, seeing how these coaches and the players mesh together. But right now, these have been two home run head coaching hires, in my opinion. DeMeco Ryans in Houston and Frank Wright in Carolina have done those two. I fully expect those two head coaches to have some success with their new teams going forward. Carolina, just an unreal staff. I think this team is just likely a quarterback away. The NFC South is absolutely god-awful right now in terms of their quarterback play. Jameis Winston probably going to be the starting quarterback for the Saints. Kyle Trask, seemingly the starting quarterback in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Desmond Ridder going into year two with the Atlanta Falcons. See, the Panthers, if they get this quarterback spot right, whether it's going to be an Anthony Richardson. Will it be a C.J. Stroud if they move up the board? A Will Levis potentially in the draft. I wouldn't even be opposed to, let's see what Matt Corral can do. You drafted last year out of Ole Miss, missed his rookie year with a season-ending injury. What can Matt Corral do with his offense? I think the coaching staff's in place. If they can figure out this quarterback question right now, which is the next thing on their agenda, the Carolina Panthers can start trending upward as a franchise going forward. So next up, again, these are the two home run hires that I've seen from this coaching cycle. This next one is an iffy one. this is one where I just cannot put my finger on. I like the hire. I like the fit. I just don't know how it's going to go. And that is Sean Payton with the Denver Broncos. A top name. The new owners with the Broncos, they dished out, the richest owners in the National Football League. Easily, you can tell why. They brought in Sean Payton off that huge deal with Fox, brought him out of the studio, and brought him over to the Denver Broncos. This was one that was unexpected, in my opinion. This is one that came out of nowhere. The Broncos, it seemed like, had struck out on all their head coaching candidates. It seemed like they're going to go back to the drawing board. Out of nowhere, bombshell, Sean Payton to the Denver Broncos. Let's see if he can get it right. I mean, the Denver Broncos last year, first-year head coach, they brought in Nathaniel Hackett from the Green Bay Packers, probably, presumably, in hopes of bringing in Aaron Rodgers. It didn't work out. They're stuck with Russell Wilson. They brought him in, gave him a huge contract, and now they're stuck with him. And after a bad year that they just had, 5-12 last year, fourth in the AFC West in the first year, with Russell Wilson at quarterback. Russell Wilson struggled mightily at quarterback last year, had one of his worst years of his career. Everyone was wondering, what's happening here? What's wrong with Russell Wilson? What's going on here? Sean Payton has to get Russell Wilson figured out. First and foremost, that has to be his goal. The former Saints quarterback, worked with Drew Brees, pretty much his entire career in New Orleans. How do we get Russell Wilson back on track? How do we get his, mojo back of Danger Russ and get him back on board and where he needs to go with this team? That's the big thing right now that Sean Payton has to figure out. Now, as far as his coaching staff goes, he brought in two good coordinators, two experienced coordinators that, are both moving over right over into the same position from former teams. Joe Lombardi from the LA Chargers, offensive coordinator. He is coming in, got fired after the big loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars in the first round. The Chargers absolute blow up in the second half in that game. Joe Lombardi was the scapegoat of all that went wrong with the Chargers this year, which I don't agree with. I don't think it was all on Joe Lombardi. But he's coming in now as the offensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos. He's going to be working with Sean Payton in terms of getting this offense figured out under Russell Wilson. And then the defense, losing Evero is a big loss for this Denver Broncos defense. But bringing in Vance Joseph, who again was getting head coaching interviews, moved straight over from the Arizona Cardinals, was the defensive coordinator there for the last couple of years, going straight over into the same position with the Denver Broncos, was a big move and a big pull, in my opinion, by Sean Payton and the Broncos team. So I think they're going to pick the pace right back up on that defense in Denver with Vance Joseph in the fold, getting those guys back on track. They lost a big one in Bradley Chubb, lost a big player, the year before in Von Miller. So there's some holes to fill on that defense to get them back where they need to be. But Pat Surtain, Justin Simmons, two top guys in their positions, they're the focal points right now of that defense that Vance Joseph will be working with. I just don't know how this is going to go. I don't know how this, Sean Payton experience is going to go with this Denver Broncos team. They dished out the money. They're dishing out the money at the quarterback spot. The money is there. They just need to show some sign that they have made the right decision and that they know what they're doing with this team. So now the last two head coaching hires, we'll real quick go through it and then we'll take a break before we get to the remainder of today's episode. But the Arizona Cardinals, they brought in Jonathan Gannon, former defensive coordinator of the Philadelphia Eagles, just represented the team in the Super Bowl. Pretty interesting they bring him in after, the game that Patrick Mahomes had against his defense. But Gannon, he was a hot name as well. He was the guy that got a lot of interviews, and he comes in now with the Arizona Cardinals. Didn't have the most flattering meeting of the players. His first public appearance with the Cardinals was pretty funny and comical. If you haven't checked that out, go watch it. The handshakes with the players, the first introductions were pretty hysterical. There's some talk that he's already had some, one-on-one time with Kyler Murray during his rehab, maybe getting some pizza, playing some video games with his new franchise quarterback. A funny and interesting hire with Jonathan Gannon. I did not expect the Cardinals to come in and bring in a defensive head coach, with Kyler Murray being the franchise guy of this team and the star player of this team. I didn't expect them to go to a defensive route. You're not seeing a lot of teams right now openly trying to, you know, pursue a defensive head coach, but that's what the Cardinals did. And, you know, that, you know, I think defense is their weakest part. So I'm excited to see Gannon turn that unit around in Arizona. And then on the offense, you know, Drew Petzing, former Cleveland quarterback coach, is going to be running the show pretty much with Kyler Murray and the rest of that offense. Kyler, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, his future is a big question mark in Arizona as well. So how do they, you know, bounce back from a, you know, potentially big loss on the way with this team that, you know, new GM as well has a big decision to make there in Arizona. But then on the defense, you know, helping Jonathan Gannon out with that unit will be Nick Rallis, a linebacker coach from the Philadelphia Eagles, one of a, you know, good friend of Jonathan Gannon, who's, you know, instead of moving up the ranks in Philadelphia, joining his buddy in Arizona, coming in as a defensive coordinator. And the big thing with Jonathan Gannon, I'm excited about hearing his press conference, you know, hearing his opening statements as the head coach of this team. Four words stuck out to me, and, you know, stuck out to a lot of other people that I'm seeing. But those four words are adaptable, violent, explosive, and smart. That is what, you know, the Arizona Cardinals are going to make into their philosophy going into next year. And adaptable and smart are the two things that are, you know, big for me. That is what has been the, you know, the opposite of the Arizona Cardinals team during the Cliff Kingsbury era. You know, the last 2 years in Arizona, they haven't been adaptable. You know, when they go up in games, they haven't been able to keep those leads. When they are down in games, the Cardinals are out of it. Hard for that team to work back into it, battle back into games. They have not been a good team in terms of being adaptable, in terms of their adaptability as a franchise. They haven't been that. And the other one is smart. Getting those two, you know, established immediately as two of the big four focal points for that team has to be critical. And I'm glad Jonathan Gannon came out and explicitly stated that on his first day on the job. And then violent and explosive, that's what I'm hoping and expecting to see out of that defense with Jonathan Gannon. You already know that offense is going to be explosive with the haymakers that they have. You know, they got Marquise Brown in that on that team. They've got Robbie Anderson at wide receiver. You know, what they have with James Conner, Kyler Murray, one of the most explosive quarterbacks as well. What he can do with his legs, what he can do passing the ball. You know, getting him back from that ACL injury, you know, hopefully keeping that explosiveness, that violentness in his game as well will be huge for that team going forward. But Jonathan Gannon, he's one of the coaching hires. I just want to see what happens. How is this going to work? I don't know. I'm excited to see what he can do. I'm excited to see what he brings into the fold. But I just don't know about this coaching hire in terms of some of the other candidates out there. Not that impressed with the Jonathan Gannon hire. And then finally, we have the Indianapolis Colts. Jim Irsay, you made the right call. You made the right decision in moving on from Jeff Saturday. Jeff Saturday was not going to be your head coach. I don't know why he got so much looks to be your head coach. I get the interim to an extent. You made the right call. Shane Steichen coming in, Philadelphia Eagles offensive coordinator, coming into this job now with Jim Bob Cooter, coming in, the former Jaguars passing game coordinator. He's coming in as the offensive coordinator for this team, still looking for that defensive coordinator spot with this Indianapolis Colts team right now. But Shane Steichen, you know, it's so funny to me. The Philadelphia Eagles and the Indianapolis Colts are like the tightest two teams. And especially for an AFC and an NFC team, you talk about Frank Wright, all right, coming from the Doug Peterson tree from the Philadelphia Eagles after the Super Bowl, going to the Indianapolis Colts as their head coach. And then Doug Peterson leaves. He is now with the Jacksonville Jaguars. They had an opening in Philadelphia. Guess who goes there? Offensive coordinator Nick Sirianni. He comes over to Philadelphia, and now offensive coordinator in Philadelphia, Shane Steichen. Frank Wright leaves Indianapolis. Shane Steichen hops back over, leapfrog back over to the Indianapolis Colts. A funny dynamic happening between those two teams. You know, the last 4 or 5 years in terms of their head coaches and their offensive coordinators bouncing around back and forth between these two teams. But Shane Steichen, I think, does a good job. I think he's a good hire for what this Indianapolis Colts team is wanting to do, making it all about. The offense is a good thing, but another team, they're in a tough spot right now. Finding a quarterback, Jim Irsay is finally off his, you know, veteran. We need an experienced veteran quarterback running this team, running this franchise. He's finally off that. What they need is a young quarterback, someone to build the rest of this team around. And I'm sorry, Jim Irsay, your promise is 2 Super Bowls in the next decade. That's probably not going to happen. What you can do now instead is do what everyone else does. Build the franchise. Jonathan Taylor, Michael Pittman, those two guys are locked in place on that offense. Now, lock in your quarterback. You know, my mock draft, I had the Colts moving up to the number one pick, getting Will Levis. Will Levis, to me, just seems like a Jim Irsay pick. A pro-style offense in college, you know, tall, big-arm quarterback, exactly, you know, what the old-school type of owners and type of, you know, executives would want at the quarterback position. To me, that is why Will Levis fit that bill. But at the same time, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, both options with the Colts right now, sitting with the number 4 overall pick. A lot of people expect the Colts to move up for a quarterback. It's time to get a young guy in place and in-house for this team and start building around him for the future. So Stetson, bringing him in, getting him as an offensive specialist, Jim Bob Cooter coming in from the Jaguars, a passing game coordinator. They're going to work on building this offense and building this passing game in the Colts. And I'm excited to see what they can do going forward for a unit that hasn't been able to do it the last couple of years. Now, the defensive coordinator spot, that's what I'm interested in, to see who they bring in with the Colts with an offensive head coach. Do they keep Gus Bradley? You know, he ran the, you know, number 16 total defense last year with the Colts. Do they keep him in-house? That's a decision right now that's, you know, probably going on right now at this moment in Indianapolis as, you know, they get ready to host the NFL Combine this week. Or do they bring in someone else at that defensive coordinator spot? That is still one more question left to be answered right now with this team. But that is the head coaching hires. Just some more coordinator hires that are big right now. Eric Bieniemy was a huge one. You know, he left the Kansas City Chiefs, moving to the Washington Commanders. He's going to be working with that new, that team, that new offense with Sam Howell, moving away from the Chiefs and moving out of Andy Reid's shadow. I think will be great for his career going forward. You know, a potential head coaching candidate the last couple of years. You know, potentially has deserved one the last couple of years. He now gets out of Andy Reid's shadow to prove himself. Matt Nagy gets promoted, former head coach of the Chicago Bears, former offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs, back into that same role and back into that same seat with the Kansas City Chiefs going forward. And also, Kellen Moore leaving the Dallas Cowboys. They bring in Brian Schottenheimer, who is pretty much a placeholder and, in my opinion, a guy who is going to let Mike McCarthy take the reins of this offense. But Kellen Moore, a top name in the coaching cycle, a young guy as an offensive specialist, offensive guru. He's going to be going in now to the Los Angeles Chargers. I'm excited to see him work with Justin Herbert in that offense. And the last big name, Brian Flores, still has an open lawsuit against the NFL for what happened, you know, with, you know, minority candidates, minority hires in the National Football League. But Brian Flores, former head coach of the Miami Dolphins, spent last year as an assistant with Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers. He is now back in the defensive coordinator spot with the Minnesota Vikings. So in my opinion, those are the top hires of this cycle. Now let's start talking about the franchise tag. Franchise tag candidates, and again, it's coming up fast. March 7th is the franchise tag deadline. Teams have until March 7th to place the franchise tag on prospective players. In terms of, you know, getting them back on what technically is a one-year deal and then revisit the contract throughout the year, revisit this decision of what they're going to do with this player, you know, said player going forward. But if we're talking about the franchise tag, we got to talk about the big name. The biggest name right now in football is Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson with the Baltimore Ravens has a huge, huge week ahead in terms of what could potentially happen with him. You know, in terms of his future contract right now with the Baltimore Ravens, a player who is an absolute phenom at the position. What is going to happen with him? You know, the counter offers haven't been great. You know, what he's wanting is similar to the Deshaun Watson fully guaranteed deal that we saw the Cleveland Browns give last year. So what is this team going to do going forward with Lamar Jackson and with this offense? With this March 7th deadline, It's quickly approaching, and the Baltimore Ravens have to figure out what's going to happen. Because either way, I don't think Lamar Jackson's going to be a free agent. This team is either going to trade him, they're going to tag him, or they will extend him. Those are the three options with the Baltimore Ravens right now. And the official exclusive tag for 2023 will be $45 million, while a non-exclusive tag will be $32.4 million for Lamar Jackson. So these two parties right now are working in on this. And like I said, they want the deal to exceed Deshaun Watson's $230 fully guaranteed million-dollar contract. Now, whether or not that will be the case is yet to be seen right now, but he has to be the hottest name in Indianapolis right now at the Combine. What is this team going to do going forward with Lamar Jackson is going to be a critical storyline of the next week, of the NFL, and of all of sports right now is what's going to happen with Lamar Jackson. So in my opinion, just, you know, we're going to, you know, quit, you know, go quick through these franchise tag, you know, big candidates and what I think is going to happen. I expect the tag from Lamar Jackson. I think that the Baltimore Ravens, you know, that's the likely scenario. I don't think they lock him out on a big deal. I think they're being smart in that regard of not going on to that contract and, you know, putting him on a long-term deal. I don't think that's wise for the Ravens. And I do think the big, you know, the easy thing for the Ravens right now is to get him on the franchise tag. Get him in place for the next year and then do what you can from that point. Whether that is going to be, you know, seeking a trade. If they can't get, you know, just put him on the tag now. Everything else can fall into place once you have him on the tag. So get him on the tag and then potentially explore a contract extension. And if deals don't work, if there's still, you know, headaches between the two and butting heads between the two, find a trade partner. Move on from him because you're easily going to get three first-round picks for this guy. Trade him to the Atlanta Falcons. Chalk it up. Move on. But for now, get him on the tag. Put Lamar Jackson on the tag right now and then see what happens after that. So Lamar Jackson, I see him getting franchise tagged. That's my, you know, prediction as of now. I'm likely going to stay to be the case. So that's Lamar Jackson. Next up, another quarterback, Daniel Jones. $45 million? Daniel Jones is not going to get a $45 million contract. That is not going to happen. No way, no how. That is not going to happen right now. So what is going to happen instead? Is he going to get the franchise tag? Do the Giants work with that contract? Or do they just let him walk? That to me could be the thing. You know, they didn't pick up his fifth year option. They let him play out the fifth year, play out his fifth year, his fourth year, didn't pick up that fifth year contract, and he had a prove it year. And I mean, Daniel Jones, he had some success this year. One of his best years he's had as a starting quarterback in the National Football League in terms of what he was able to do, leading the Giants to the divisional round before ultimately losing to the Philadelphia Eagles, but a 9-7-1 record, third in their division, you know, a playoff berth, a great year, and a big bounce back year by Daniel Jones in terms of what he was able to do as the quarterback this year for this team and for the Giants. But $45 million, that to me is just, that's too much. You cannot rationally pay Daniel Jones $45 million if that is the real asking price, which is being reported as the real asking price in terms of what he wants on a per-year basis on a potential new contract. But the thing with the New York Giants is you only get one franchise tag. And while they do have a ton of cap space to work with, a big name that they still have to consider is Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley at running back is another big scenario. And, you know, what are they going to do with these two guys? Who do you pay? Who do you give the tag to? And which one, if any, do you let walk in the free agency? Has to be, you know, a big focal point of what this Giants team is going through this week. It's also a big week as well. So who should the Giants franchise tag? Daniel Jones or Saquon Barkley? Which one do they let walk? And which one, if any, do they extend on a, you know, multi-year contract? So for me, I franchise tag Saquon, or excuse me, Daniel Jones. I'm franchise tagging Daniel Jones at quarterback. You know, a $32.4 million franchise tag, fully guaranteed salary. You know, if you tag Barkley, it's just over, you know, I think just north of $10 million, which is for a running back pretty high. But I think 32 at the quarterback position is a pretty good bargain on a franchise tag. So I'm franchise tagging Daniel Jones. Get him back on another year. If he can prove what he did this year was not a fluke year and can be sustainable into a second year, give him a contract. Give him a contract. Keep him. You know, I don't know if you pay him the $45 million, but you can give him a $40 million, a $42 million contract. But give him a franchise tag now, $32 million, and let him play it out and see what can happen. Now, what happens with Saquon Barkley? Do you pay Saquon Barkley on a multi-year contract extension? And again, the guy's a beast, an absolute freak at the running back position, and what, you know, in terms of what he's been able to do. Had a, you know, back to having a fully healthy year this year, had a great season with the Giants this past year. You know, finally looked like Saquon Barkley of old that we saw during his rookie year in terms of what he was able to do, this past season. But I don't know. Running back has to be the toughest position. I mean, even for a guy who rushed for 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns. In my eyes, you do not pay running backs. That has to be the commandment in the NFL. I mean, look at Isaiah Pacheco, seventh round rookie on the Super Bowl leading rusher, our Super Bowl winning team's leading rusher. Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, Kenneth Gainwell on the NFC side for the Philadelphia Eagles. You don't see top name, highest paid running backs on good teams. You just don't. You don't see them on the teams that are consistently going deep in, you know, deep on playoff runs, going to Super Bowls, and winning Super Bowls. You don't see those running backs on those teams. So in my opinion, let them walk. Let Saquon Barkley be a free agent. Let someone else pay him that top dollar, because you get put in a hole if you give a running back a top contract in the National Football League. So tag Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, free agent. Now let's run through these other top candidates and, you know, real quick and get those out of the way before we wrap things up. Mike Gesicki with the Miami Dolphins. The fit's not there. The fit's not there in that offense. You don't fit with Mike McDaniel. You don't fit with that offense. Let him walk. Mike Gesicki, free agent. Carolina Panthers. You got the money. Start looking at a guy like Mike Gesicki as a passing option within your offense. You need a passing tight end, a receiving tight end within your offense. He's potentially going on the move right now, going forward with this team and being a potential free agent. De'Aaron Payne, defensive tackle, Washington Commanders. I expect him to get the tag and a big one. I also expect a potential tag and extension. You know, I expect him to get a $20 million contract going forward, a huge deal with this team. But if you get him in right now, in place on an $18 million franchise tag, that's a bargain in terms of what he can potentially be worth. But I think they get him on a multi-year, $20 million plus annual range going forward with that team. But I expect a tag to happen first. Evan Ingram, he's a player I think outright gets extended. Instead of getting a franchise tag, I see Evan Ingram and the Jacksonville Jaguars working through some sort of big extension with that team. Geno Smith, I could see a franchise tag from Geno Smith. If not a franchise tag, a 1 or 2 year deal. As I talked about in my mock draft, at number 9, Anthony Richardson. You have to, not at 9. Seattle Seahawks, what they have at 5. Yeah, 5. Anthony Richardson at 5 makes a lot of sense to me for the Seattle Seahawks. Especially, you know, sit a year behind Geno Smith. Take over that team, reset your money at the quarterback position, get 5 years on a great, great bargain for Anthony Richardson. So a 1 to 2 year short-term deal on Geno Smith or a franchise tag expected. And then Josh Jacobs. I think Josh Jacobs with the Las Vegas Raiders, I think you get him as well on a franchise tag. I don't think he walks. It'd be tough to have a player like that walk after the season he just had in Vegas. So I expect him to get a franchise tag. come back another year with Josh McDaniels in that offense and moving forward with that group. So that's our franchise tag talk. Again, the deadline is next Tuesday, March 7th, to get these deals in place and these tags in place on these players. So expect a lot of movement this week on some of these guys going forward in terms of what they can do. And that's in that case. So next up, real quick before we get out of here, I do want to talk about the combine. The combine kicks off tomorrow. Big deal in for the league. A big event that the league puts on every year to get a good look at these prospects, finally get to sit down and have some interviews for the first time with some of these top prospects and figure out how these guys are going to be showcased before they go into the NFL and into the draft in April. Some big, names that we have coming out, participating in the combine that we have that we're going to be seeing. C.J. Stroud will be throwing at the combine, as will Will Levis. We'll throw in Indy and Anthony Richardson. So three of the top four quarterbacks will be throwing this week, all live on Saturday with the quarterbacks throwing. Bryce Young, presumably the top draft pick in this year's class from Alabama, he will be waiting until his pro day to officially throw. He's still dealing, with some issues that he's, had to work out, with his shoulder, getting healthy, but he will still be there to interview and meet some coaches, meet some executives, and that's the case with Bryce Young. But the other top three quarterbacks, we will be seeing them throwing and showcasing this year. Another big name, Jalen Carter, he will not be participating in the workout portion of the combine this week, but will be interviewing and doing the physical with various teams. So again, Jalen Carter, probably the top prospect in this year's class, defensive tackle from Georgia, coming from a monster defensive line group that has produced, countless first round picks the last 2 years. Jalen Carter is expected to be the top one out of all of them. So that is, a big move of him, not seeing him, but still doing the interviews as well. But for me personally, what I'm looking at this week and what I'm going to be focusing on, I will pull it up for you here. These three groups, as we see Ben Fennell, NFL, putting out on Twitter, the back-to-back-to-back prospects of these three groups at the combine this week are going to be incredible television, must-watch television of these guys. On the offensive line, you got Paris Johnson, Broderick Jones, and DeJuan Jones going back-to-back-to-back with this offensive line group. My number one offensive tackle in Paris Johnson, my number three offensive tackle in Broderick Jones, and my number five offensive tackle in DeJuan Jones on my preliminary big board right now, going back to back to back, will be must-watch television for teams that need an offensive tackle in this year's class. Keep your eyes on these three guys and see how they perform this week. On the defensive line, you got Lucas Van Ness, Keon White, and Tyree Wilson. Lucas Van Ness, on my board right now, is a guy that I really like coming out of Iowa. I have him as my defensive end number three, and Tyree Wilson my number five defensive end as well. And Keon White is a stud as well that I'm just now getting into. And then linebackers, Drew Sanders, Noah Sewell, Trenton Simpson. Simpson, my number one linebacker. Drew Sanders, my number two linebacker. Noah Sewell, my number three linebacker on my big board right now. Those three guys going back to back to back will be great to watch and see how they showcase and see how they test out throughout this week. So in my opinion, these are the big names to watch right here in terms of viewing. If you don't want to wait for all these other players and to see who you want and just want something really quick, these three groups, these back to back to backs, are insane. And they're going to be, for me personally, something that I will be watching as we get through the combine this week. But the combine is an exciting time, not just to see the prospects, but to start to see the tea leaves start to rustle, start to see the leaves rustling a little bit. What's true? What's not true? What are teams, potentially very strategically putting out there in terms of, trying to sway one team to do something or another? What's going to be said this week will be huge and critical to decipher. It's a big week for the NFL draft and a big week in terms of the future of the league and what we're going to see this week. So big week ahead. I'm excited for it. Also, just real quick, what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers? He's out of the darkness. We all know here on the Slaw Sports Show, we are unbiasedly the Packers fan here on the show. That's going to be on my agenda this week as well. What is Rodgers' decision? What will he make? What will his decision be that he makes? Hopefully this week, in terms of the future of his career and potentially his future as a Green Bay Packer. That is also what we have looking forward coming up here on the show. So that's all we have. We'll see you next Monday again, 9 to 10 a.m. Thank you for having a great show. Thank you for sticking with us on WSOE 89.3 in Elon and Burlington. And also those of you who are checked out live as well. Shout out JP, said hey Slaw in the chat. Shout out Jarrett. Hope you're doing well. But thank you all for tuning in. Thank you all for stopping by. If you missed any part of today's episode, it will be posted on our podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, anywhere you get a podcast, at the Slaw Sports Show. But thank you for your time. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you all for listening. And until next time.